Well, good evening, folks. Glad to see you back with us again tonight for another live stream Wednesday night Bible study and prayer time. Hopefully you were able to download our prayer bulletin that's been posted, also the study notes for tonight's lesson. And I trust that our time here Sunday, our emphasis on prayer, our day of prayer, has been something that wasn't just a one-day thing, but hopefully it has spurred you to continue to pray in those specific areas that we focused on Sunday. So important that we go to the Lord in prayer on those things when there are, well, events in our lives that we can't control, that we can't fix. We take them to the Lord, and hopefully you've been doing that. In our prayer bulletin, there are a number of praises that are there, some that we've been praying for quite a while. There was one man we've been praying for a while now that he would be able to secure some employment, and the job has been secured. In fact, it looks like he'll be starting in September, so we're excited for him, as well as some other answers to prayer that are in there, and some newer prayer requests as well. So please use that as a guide to your praying, not just a kind of like a Christmas wish list that we take to God and telling him what we want him to do for us or others. But just as something to include in your prayer time as you worship him through prayer. I know Sunday I had suggested even using the Psalms. The Psalms are wonderful prayers that we can just read and speak to the Lord. Sometimes it's helpful to even put them in your own words. Take some time to rewrite them in your own words. And that, by the way, is part of the process of meditating as well. So hopefully you'll avail yourself to that. Let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer here tonight. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you that you have given us yet another day. And Lord, I hope that each of us will have used the time that you gave us wisely, not just wisely in the sense that it fits into our schedule, but that we actually sought your will on what you wanted us to do with the time that you gave us today. It's so important, Lord, that we constantly be considering what your plan is for each day that you give us. And as we are coming to the end of this day, Lord, I pray that our time together tonight around your word will be fruitful in that we will allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're continuing on with the pursuit of holiness, and specifically tonight, it's holiness in the body, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27 is kind of our main text for this. Paul writes these words, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Another version puts it this way, and I think it might be a little bit easier to understand. Paul writes, "But I discipline my body." There's that word discipline that we considered last week. "But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." Now, we're going to look at different elements of that verse here tonight for sure. But let's just kind of go back. Quick review. We understand that if we are saved, based on what we've looked at in Scripture, if we are saved, then we do have this desire to be holy. If we are saved, we have this desire to be holy. Scripture lays that out for us, that that is a result of us truly being saved, a result of the Holy Spirit truly living within us in this temple, And what he does then is he creates this desire to be holy. Before being saved, before the Holy Spirit living inside this temple, we didn't have that desire. And so based on that truth from Scripture, we then also understand that if we don't have this desire to be holy, if we're okay the way we are and no desire to get closer to God, to make any changes in our lives, and don't you suggest that there's anything in my life that needs to be changed because I'm fine the way I am. Whoa. If we don't have this desire to be holy, then we need to reevaluate our salvation based on what we have seen in Scripture. We also understand that the pursuit of holiness is a struggle because of our sin nature and our developed sin habits. We also understand that the path to holiness requires discipline, requires a methodical step-by-step plan, and we've talked about that in the last week or two. Disciplining ourselves to be in the Word of God. Now, if you have a stopwatch, maybe if you got your phone there handy, flip open the stopwatch, the timer on it, whatever it is, get ready, because I'm going to do something here in just a minute, and I want you to time me on that, okay? So, okay, get that ready. As we're disciplining ourselves to be in the Word of God, do you remember last week, we talked about that quite a bit. Disciplining ourselves implies intentionality. It's not something that just happens, that we maybe fall into. We are intentional about it. We are as intentional about being in the Word of God, getting the Word of God in us. We are as intentional about that as we are about setting an appointment for our chemotherapy or our dialysis. We're very intentional about that. That's the same mindset that has to be in us when it comes to getting the Word of God in us, getting us into the Word of God, because it doesn't just happen. Even if you come to church, that's great. That's being obedient to God's word, okay? Whether you get something out of church or not, you like this, you don't like that, it's big, it's small, people talk to me, people talk, don't talk to me, that doesn't matter. The main reason that we, you as Christians, need to come to church is because God commands it. It's just a matter of obedience. God commands it, period. He doesn't give us leeway to decide yes or no, maybe, maybe not, a little bit, maybe later. God commands it. We need to be there with intentionality. And if you're here every week, you're going to hear the Word of God, and some of it's going to fall on you, obviously, because the Word of God doesn't return void. But we need to be intentional all throughout the week. What did Joshua 1:8 say? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein once a week, Sunday mornings. No, it doesn't say that. Day and night, we need to be immersing ourselves with the Word of God. No matter how much we want to be disciplined and be holy, even if we really, really, really want to be holy, it won't happen unless we take some practical, intentional steps to make it happen. How about time? We talked about this last week. Let me just give you a follow-up question. Accountability time. Okay, here it is. Did you, since last Wednesday, did you schedule a time? We talked about that. Did you schedule a time each day that you would go to the Word of God? Did you do that? We talked about that. It fit into the whole discipling, planned, methodical approach. We've heard it, but did we do it? We need to back up and just do it. Be intentional about it. That was one of the aspects of discipline that we considered. Time. So did you schedule time? How about method? Lots of methods that we considered. There was reading, studying, meditating, and there was another one. Do you remember it? Memorizing. I know. It's hard. And it seems to get harder the older we get. And the older we get and the harder it gets, the less we try to do it. Now, I'll say more about that later, but let's do something tonight just as an experiment, okay? Do you have your stopwatch ready there on your phone or some way to keep time? If we could have our verse back on the screen. It is for us already. Great. 1 Corinthians 9:27. Okay? I'm going to take and read that. When I start reading it, I want you to start the stopwatch. Start my time and see how long it takes me to read it through. Here we go. Are you ready? Okay, I'll start with the reference. 1 Corinthians 9:27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. 1 Corinthians 9:27. Stop. How long did that take me? Well, you're not here, otherwise you'd be able to tell me. I timed myself earlier. It's right about 15 seconds. 15 seconds it took me to read that verse. Is that what you had upstairs? Right on? Okay, 15 seconds. One time through took me 15 seconds to do that. Now, if I were to read that verse through over and over and over again, let's just say, 15 minutes. Could we intentionally schedule 15 minutes just for memorizing scripture? You say, it's hard. I have a hard time with it. I never remember it 2 hours later. It's okay. In the past, when you've tried this, have you ever, like this verse, took me 15 seconds. If I said it, repeated it, I'd do 4 times in 1 minute. If I did that for 15 minutes, well, you can do the math. 60 times I read that verse through from beginning to end. 60 times. How many of you ever tried to memorize a verse by saying it 60 times back to back, right in a row? 60 times, and it only took 15 minutes of my time, then I'm done for the day. And then the next day, another 15 minutes, start with that same verse. I'm guessing we're going to have it memorized pretty quickly, saying it 60 times through, back to back. So if we are doing that, we're doing all of these things that we've just reviewed. What are some practical areas that we should be seeking to be holy in? Now, obviously, all of our lives are different. It's kind of like you go out to the woods, you see a tree. There are no two trees alike. They all have differences. We all have different lives, different issues, different things, different learned sinful habits from before we were saved. We are all completely different, different areas of our lives that we need to move toward holiness. But the Bible does give us some general/specific areas to consider when we're talking about holiness in the body, okay? So let's just begin with a foundational truth when it comes to holiness in body. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, we have this passage. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Foundational truth. When we accept Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in this physical body. inside this body that you see on your screen right now in front of you. You see me, you see skin, you see hair, you see what you see. Inside this body, there are muscles, there are veins, there are organs, and there's all these different things inside this physical body dwells a spirit. Not just a spirit, but the Spirit of God. A member of the Trinity is inside your body if you've trusted Christ as Savior. So when it comes to holiness in body, okay, modern day Christians are probably a little bit lacking in this area of holiness in body. As Christians, we tend to focus on church attendance. There's some certain areas that we focus on as Christians. But how about holiness in body? Now, this might be a little bit uncomfortable to look at. The fact that it is uncomfortable, I think, maybe demonstrates how we have strayed from this concept of our body, bringing our body under subjection, controlling it, disciplining our body. We've kind of strayed from that. And because we've strayed from that, as a whole, as modern day Christians, it's kind of uncomfortable to broach the subject a little bit. For example, let's just take two areas that God mentions. We'll call it what God calls it: gluttony and laziness. Now, God calls them what? Sin. Ooh. That's why this is getting uncomfortable, because we don't call it sin, do we? We call them maybe areas of weakness. We just don't have enough willpower. That's what it is. We call it a lack of willpower. God calls it sin. In fact, sometimes we even joke about it. We joke about our overeating and our indulgences. And it's not just food, it's laziness, it's overindulgences as a whole. And we joke about it, don't we? Okay. I've heard people stand in front of a crowd and say something like, "Ho, ho, ho, can you tell that I like the buffet? Ha, ha, ha. I buffeted my body at the buffet. Ha, ha, ha." And it's a big ha, ha joke. It's a joke. God calls it sin. Just something else. Let me throw myself under the bus here, okay? Let the skinny guy throw himself into this too. There was a time when I would boast about being able to eat a dozen Krispy Kremes and not gain a single pound. Some people boast about drinking a pot or two of coffee every day. Is there anything wrong with eating at a buffet? Absolutely not. Is there anything wrong with drinking coffee? Absolutely not. Is there anything wrong with Krispy Kremes? Big no on that. The problem is our indulgence. The problem is our lack of control. Instead of us controlling our body is controlling us. Now, why is that a problem? Because God said, don't let it happen. We're not just addressing those that have, quote, a weight problem. But we're also addressing those that can eat anything they want and not gain weight. That would be me. Overindulging is overindulging. The problem the wrongness is not the pounds, it's the lack of control. We are told in Scripture through 1 Corinthians 9:27, we're told to control our desires. And when we don't, we boast about it, we minimize it, we excuse it, instead of confessing and repenting. Again, our verse, 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. I discipline my body and I control it. So as we're talking about overindulgence, here's something about overindulgence. It leads to more. Number two in your notes there. The habit of always giving in to the desire of the body. My body desires it. My flesh desires it. I want another piece. I want another cup. I want more of this. I want another, just 5 more minutes on the video game. Just 10 more minutes sleep. I want more. I want more. My body wants more. And we give in and we give in and we give in. Here's what happens. It will extend to other areas of our life as well. If we can't say no to an indulgent appetite for whatever, we could be hard-pressed to say no to lustful thoughts. We could be hard-pressed to say no to controlling our tongue. You know, we struggle with that sometimes. We're out with our friends and we're talking and then all of a sudden, blah, 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 it just comes out. And we're like, oh, I need to stop doing that. I can't help it. We're admitting we don't have it under control. We're sometimes hard pressed to say, controlling our anger. And what do we do when we don't control our anger? We don't confess and repent and call it sin. We say, they push my buttons. I was tired. I'm hangry. I get that way when I'm hungry. And it's everything else other than what God calls it. These things have a way of becoming idols to us. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. That's this. He says, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. Coveting is idolatry. Those things that I was just talking about, those things that we overindulge, we can't control because they control us. They become idols. Let's just take the word in that last verse we read, the word covetousness. Another word for that is greed, right? In other words, we want more. It's kind of the basic premise of greed. We want more. My wife will sometimes tease me about, how many screwdrivers does a guy need anyway? Well, guys, you understand this. There's a difference in screwdrivers, okay? I will ask the question, how many shoes does a woman need, right? But let's go a little bit deeper than that, because we all know that there are areas, perhaps in our lives, of greed. How many of something do we need? Or once we have this, why, when we got that was just what we needed, but now we need something else, and then something else, and then something else. In other words, we want more. For some, they would say, we want more money, right? Now, money's not bad. Money's good. I like money. Everybody likes money. God says the love of money is a root that can grow into evil. Rockefeller said this when he was asked, how much is enough? Do you remember? Just a little bit more. Greed most often shows itself in the form of what we would call materialism, okay? Because most of us are not extremely filthy rich. We don't have the hundreds of millions and billions of dollars in the bank. But we can still suffer from greed in this form of materialism. In fact, we don't want to be extremely rich. We just want all of the nice things that are available. Our culture calls this materialism. And here is why we as Christians must control, bring it under subjection. We must control this. Here's one reason why. Materialism makes us discontent and envious of others. We're not content with what we have. We've got to have what they have. Or we've got to have another one. Or we've got to have a different one. Now, think about this. If God is sovereign, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, according to the book of James, then what we have is what God has allowed us to have. And if God wanted me to have a Harley, I would have a Harley. I'm convinced of that because God is God and he could do that. I don't have a Harley. That must mean God doesn't want me to have one. But I want one, right? Now, as adults, we don't do that. That's what the 3-year-olds in Walmart do. Actually, 12 and 13-year-olds can do at Walmart. But I want one. We don't do that. Not that way. And when you're in Walmart and you hear that, you know, if it was my kid, I would say, you've got one. Be content with that one. But I want another one. Okay, again, as adults, we don't express it in that way. But the attitude, the desire is still there. And we're not being content with what we have. And we want more. And we're saying, God, you gave me this. It ain't good enough. I need more. That's the problem with greed. It makes us discontent. It makes us envious of other people. That's one reason why we need to control that as Christians. Here's a second reason. Materialism causes us to indulge our bodies. So we move from discontentment and envy, and now our bodies are calling the shots. I want another one. I want a better one. I want a different one. And if I do that, my body says, oh, you'll be so happy. As we indulge our bodies, here's something that happens. As we indulge our bodies, the things the body craves, rest, relaxation, entertainment, fun, happiness, joy, butterflies floating in the air, whatever the case is, okay? As we indulge our bodies, we become soft. And we tend to become spiritually soft along with that. We don't read the Bible as much as we used to. Well, let me stop right there. When do people pray the most and the hardest? When the world is flipped upside down, right? When the sky is falling, everything is crashing, man, they are on their knees begging God and begging to just touch God's heart with their words. They're praying all of the time. When they need a job and finances are tight, oh, they come back to God, they come back to church, they get the job, they're gone. They get the job, they get bills paid, they get a few more things bought that they were wanting, and they get soft spiritually. And we begin to stop reading the Bible like we used to. We don't pray like we used to. We don't memorize as much as we used to. I know. It's too hard. Yeah, we've gotten soft. We want soft. We don't want hard. We want easy. We don't want hard. Remember earlier, the little timing thing we did? 15 seconds, one verse, 60 times in 15 minutes. Now, there was a time in my life when I was younger, I could have maybe had that done in 2 minutes and had it memorized and could tell you the next day that verse. But now it's going to take me 15 minutes instead of 2 minutes. It's harder. Yes, it is. But the command is still there. The benefit to us spiritually, it's still there. So what's changed? The command is still there. The benefit from memorizing God's word, immersing ourselves in God's word, that benefit is still there. The command is there. The benefit is there. The things that God has said and does as a result hasn't changed. What's changed? Have we gotten soft? Now, why would I ask that? You say, well, I've just gotten older. That's true. So what are we saying? Memorizing is hard. Memorizing is not easy like it used to be. We would do it if it was easy. We want it easy, don't we? We want it soft. Overindulgence, materialism, it leads to us being soft spiritually. A couple of other examples. How about here at church, okay? Now, there's movies that have been made over the years. I remember watching the movie Sheffy, okay, produced by Bob Jones University, Unusual Films. Many of you, I'm sure, have seen that before. And it goes back into the early days of our country where there were circuit rider preachers going through the mountains. And when the preacher was coming through, man, they would get together for meetings, okay? And it wasn't just a Sunday through Wednesday like we do now. We used to do Sunday through Fridays, but people get tired of coming all the way through the week. So it's now Sunday through Wednesday. Well, before Sunday through Friday, it was maybe a whole week or 2 weeks. Sometimes it would go 3 weeks. And looking at this movie, Sheffy, they would go weeks and preach and preach and preach and preach. And not only that, they weren't staying at a Motel 6 or a Motel 6. That was bad. They weren't staying at a Holiday Inn or a Hampton Inn and Suites with a pool and a hot tub. Man, they were living in tents or sleeping in the back of their buckboard wagon for weeks, eating over a campfire, okay, with no air conditioning or cushioned pews. Can you believe that? We would never do that. Soft, right? It has crept its way into our church. This is just observation, okay? As a pastor now, as a senior pastor for 14 years now, here's some observations that I've noticed. When it rains, attendance drops. Not drawing any conclusions. I just noticed that when it rains, attendance drops. If all we're going to be doing at church is praying, attendance drops. Too hot, attendance drops. Soft. Overindulging our physical bodies leads to us becoming soft in other areas that are sin, but also in spiritual areas as well. Let me read our main text again. 1 Corinthians 9:27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now, Paul isn't speaking here about himself being physically disqualified from the ministry. Okay? He's bringing his body under subjection so that when he has preached to others, he himself wouldn't, it says, be a castaway. Spiritually speaking, he is saying, so that I won't be led out of the spiritual battle because he's more focused on his own physical desires. He's saying, I've got to control my appetites. I've got to bring my body under discipline, control it instead of it controlling me. Because if I don't control my body, I will become soft in other areas that I'll lose control in, and I will become soft spiritually. Can you imagine an Apostle Paul who at some point in his life stopped reading his Bible, praying every day, and going to church? He wouldn't have been the Apostle Paul, would he? That's what he's talking about in this verse here. When we don't bring our body under subjection, we become a spiritual castaway. If we are not, and we become that spiritual castaway because now we are more concerned about our own physical comfort and desires than we are about being obedient to God's word. If we're not in the spiritual battle, then if we're not actively, intentionally in the battle, then we are not moving on the path toward holiness. So how do we control this thing that we call the body? The place to start is first reduce exposure to the temptation. The thing tempting may not be bad. Donuts, coffee, food, sleep, okay? But what is bad is our idolization of it, our inability to control. So when we're faced with this thing, it has a way of giving our cravings a boost of adrenaline. Now, back a couple of months ago, several months ago now, I think it is, I had been visiting my daughter and her husband in Danville, and he had acquired, I won't go into the story of that, ask me sometime, he had acquired an entire pickup truck bed full of candy bars. Cases and cases of candy bars. These little miniature candy bars, okay? Just cases and cases and cases of those. And they sent me home with as many as I wanted to take. So I brought cases of them home, and we've had them here at the church, and you know, we give them out to people. And when I brought them home, brought them up to the church, I put them right into my office because I'm a good boss. I'm a good husband. I'm not going to stack them in my wife's office and make her look at them and all that clutter. So I put them in my office, and a case was open. And occasionally we would give a package to people when they come in for different things. And one day I remember, right across from my desk, there's these cases of chocolate. Now, you know, February 1st, I quit eating sugar. So these things are in my office, and I'm thinking, well, you know, I've gone 2 months without sugar. I could have just one little miniature candy bar. It's not going to kill me. It's fine. And so I took a package out. There were six of them in there. And I opened it up, and I just had one. It was amazing. Now, for the entire 2 or 3 months before that, I hadn't had sugar. I hadn't thought about eating candy bars. I didn't have to deal with cravings or anything like that. There was no sugar in the house. When my wife and I decided to do this, she actually went through the house and threw away all the food that had sugar. It was gone. I didn't even think about it sitting at home at night. But here I got these cases in my office. I just ate one of those little miniature candy bars. I could do this. I could just have one. I had one package. The entire package was gone before I realized I couldn't stop at just one. Just eating that one reignited those cravings for more. So the cases that were in my office they're not in there anymore. Okay. I had to reduce exposure to the temptation. What did God tell us to do about this? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22, he says, flee youthful lusts. Get away from them. Paul said, don't make provision for your flesh to be tempted. Don't put those cases of candy bars in your office if you're going to be tempted. That's foolishness. How about number two? Plan ahead. This is another way we control the appetites of our body. Plan ahead. Here's a great verse to go along with that. Proverbs 27:12. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Now, it's a great proverb. There's just a wonderful picture there. A prudent man, he looks down the path, so he's not just thinking about the here and now. He's actually planning ahead. He looks ahead, and he sees evil, is what the verse says. He sees something, because it's a proverb, we can unwrap it and put some literal images to there. He sees something potentially bad. He sees something that could be a problem. And what does he do? He runs right to it. No, he doesn't. This proverb says he hides himself. In other words, he protects himself from what he sees coming. Okay? The simple, it says, just pass on and they're punished. Now, a wise man sees potential danger and he has a plan. A simple man sees potential danger and he just skips along with no plan. You see the difference there? We can bring our bodies under subjection. We have to remove things, perhaps, and then things that we can't control, we have to see it coming, and we have to have a plan for when it does come. Can we do these things? I believe we can. God says, I can do anything, all things, through Christ which strengtheneth me. Okay, so I'm going to sound like a broken record here, but let's end with this. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Well, Pastor, I've tried that and I fail. I know I can do all things. I can do all things. I get up in the morning and I recite my mantra to me. I can do all things. I can do all things. I can do all things. And I fail. It doesn't happen. Did you read your Bible? Are you spending time in the Word of God? Because it says I can do all things through Christ. Christ said, I am the Word. We've got to go back to the Word to get Christ, to be connected with Him. There we go. Back to last week, disciplining ourselves with our method, our designated time, our method. We're hearing, we're reading, we're studying, we're meditating and memorizing God's Word. And the more we go back to the Bible, the more we can do all things that God has commanded us to do. If you haven't spent time with Jesus today, before you go to bed tonight, shut the TV off. I know your favorite show's on and you don't want to miss it. Are we overindulging something here? Just saying. Shut the TV off. Spend some time with Jesus in the Word tonight. Let that be the last thing running through your mind before you go to bed. And then as you go to sleep, your mind will still be processing the last things you put into it all night long. Heavenly Father, God, thank you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for the commands that you have, which to us at times, man, we just don't like them. But God, help us to see the fact that we don't like them is actually a red flag that we're not on the same page with you, that we have been overindulging, we have gotten soft spiritually. God, I pray for each one listening to this. I can't pray this for them, but I can just pray that they would come to you and seek to remove that softness, that overindulgence. Get back to the word. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, folks. I hope you'll have a good evening, and I'll be looking forward to you joining with us on Sunday morning. Have a good night.